very busy week begins. Thank you very much for joining us on the From the Horse's Mouth podcast as we look ahead to day one of the Punchestown Festival with Ruby Walsh and Frank Kickey, who are going to be sick to death of me by the end of the week. We're going to be seeing and hearing a lot of each other over the course of the week. Now, the first things first, let's get the housekeeping out of the way. If you are thinking going to Punchestown, remember, Frank, what trainers can we wear?
Not white trainers, is it?
Don't you be wearing those white trainers, otherwise you won't be getting into Punchestown. Oh, dearie.
I'm planning on wearing my Asics running shoes with my suit.
Ruby, what's on the wardrobe this week?
I wouldn't be wearing runners anyway, PK, so it won't bother me.
Yeah, okay, right, we'll move swiftly on.
And I'll be wearing socks as well.
Oh, yeah, well, that's
one thing I don't understand, and it does annoy me, actually.
It does annoy you, does it?
You wear ankle socks with runners when you're wearing shorts, like. Do you know what I mean? You don't wear them with trousers and proper shoes.
I can't understand what all the furor is. I can remember my wife being stopped going into an enclosure in Market Raisin because she was wearing jeans.
Did she get in?
No.
My
it was the dress code. Simple as that. Like, the dress code's the dress code.
Oh dear, okay.
I do not know who I am.
That is the next line, isn't it? Okay, right, I'm going to wear one trainer and I'm going to wear one shoe and see how they get on down at Punchestown and look absolutely, and one sock as well, just to annoy Frank.
I know, wear different colour socks, yeah.
No, that's not too bad. We're going to talk about some winners. We're going to talk about a lot of racing. We've got day one to look ahead to, folks, and we're going to kick off with the 340, which is a 2-mile listed novice hurdle for mares only. Dino Blue heads the market at the time of recording at 11-8. Party Central, 7-2. A friend or foe of Frank Hickey? Let's find out. 7-2 for Grand G. Paul Townend's picked that one. Bride's Hill is 13-2. 7-1 Instant. Danny Mullins on board. Very unexposed. And 16's Bar. Okay, Frank Hickey, you were a big fan of Party Central going into the Cheltenham Festival. Are you going to give her another chance?
I was a big fan. Turning in as well. She was cruising. I was like, oh, here we go. She found nothing. I was very disappointed with her finishing effort. Look, I know some of Gordon's disappointed. And she's probably capable of better, but just at the prices. Look, Grangy and Dino Blue obviously are decent mares as well, but they had a hard enough race at Fairy House, what is it, 9 days ago, when they finished sixth and fourth, respectively, behind Brandy Love. And I don't think they're exceptional. I'm going to take a chance on Bright Hill. Look, she disappointed in the race at Leopardstown, the Party Central won. But when you go back to the race before that, when she bolted up at Leopardstown a decent handicap, she won very easily. I know it was only off a mark of 121, but when you look what the horses behind her have done subsequently, second that day was Surprise Package, what was it, 7.5 lengths behind her. He was running off 128. He bolted up in the Imperial Cup off 135 and then finished sixth in the county hurdle off a mark of 140. Travelled really well in the county, and that looked a good renewal. Back in 10th that day was Fast or Slow. Look, he might have been using that as a stepping stone, but he still went on and was just touched off in the Carl Cup. The 12th was Call Me Lyrene, who won the Liffey Handicap Hurl at Dublin Racing Festival. So it was a decent renewal. And on official ratings, she's top rated with Dino Blue off 135. And just at the prices, I'd probably have a few bob each way on her. I think, it's not the deepest race. You've probably got five of a chance. And I'd be expecting her to beat two of them at least.
Okay.
Beat them all.
Bride's Hill for Frank Kickey at a nice price. Ruby, lots for Willie here. I suppose the first question for me is a horse running in Cheltenham and then Fairy House and then Punchestown. It's rare enough, isn't it?
Yeah, and difficult. It is the end of the season, I suppose, and these mares won't be novices next week, so they're taking their last chance. But I would probably have the same concerns as Frank that both had. But ran their hearts out last week in Fairy House, and you'd have to think it will have taken some bit of the edge off them. But I would be inclined to go with Party Central. I think she raced too prominently and probably a little bit keen at Cheltenham. Did catch your eye down into the home straight and halfway up to the last hurdle even before fading. I think back on an easier track, it'll suit Party Central. David Russell back on board. I'd probably be with her over Willie's two that have had, we're at Cheltenham and have been to Fairy House since, ran 2.5 miles 9 days ago. Party Central will have to be fresher.
So Frank jumps ship and Ruby jumps on. Frank, how do you feel? You know what's going to happen here, Frank.
You know what's going to happen now. Party Central gets up and nabs Bride's Hill 5 yards in the line.
Mounted. Right, quarter past four is the first of the grade ones of the week. It's the champion novice hurdle, two-miler. Sir Gerhard Strong in the market at 8-13. Paul Tennant picked that one over Dysart Dynamo. What would have happened if Dysart stayed on his feet? Maybe we'll find out on Tuesday. 15-8 second favourite. Mighty Potter is 7-1. And then the rest don't count. Ruby, straight to you, Sir Gerhard. You were keen on him before Cheltenham in whatever race he ran in. So you're obviously a fan.
Yeah, I'm still keen, PK. I think he did really well at Cheltenham. He beat Three Stripe Life, probably rested a bit keen at times in the race as well. I don't think dropping back down to 2 miles, which he's already won over, will be of any inconvenience to him. Look, it didn't go right for Dysart Dynamo. He got caught a little bit wide, and John Bond definitely set him alight. But look, I'm a Sir Gerhard fan. I have been all season, and I don't see any reason to jump ship now.
Simple as that, Frank.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult to oppose Sir Gerhard. You know, I'm a big fan of Dysart Dynamo. I think he was running well at Cheltenham, all, you know, considering everything. John Bond took him on and he was keen enough and whatever. And look, he wasn't going to beat Constitution Hill, but he may well have finished second if he'd stood up. John Bond's come out 1-8, even Silent Revolution with tail off, came out and beat Luttrell Lad in a novice hurdle at Chepstow. So, but then you look at the Ballymore and Three Stripe Life's come out, won a grade one at Aintree as well to frank that form. But for me, I wouldn't be overly keen to be having a bet in the race, but I wouldn't be keen to be taking on Sir Gerhard either. I think, you know, obviously Dysart Dynamo might get an easy time, but I don't think Paul's going to let him get an easy time either. That'd be your only concern, but yeah. Sir Gerhard will probably win, won't he?
Just in terms of tactics then, Frank touched on it there, Ruby, you would assume, but it's dangerous to assume anything, that Dysart will probably try and make it, or Patrick will?
I'd imagine he would, imagine so.
And this track would probably suit him better as well, won't it, than Cheltenham. But yeah, Sir Gerhard, he's looked very good, hasn't he?
And with that smaller field, the possibility that he could stack them up maybe, Patrick, is there any concern there, or Sir Gerhard's tactically versatile enough to kind of face anything that Patrick throws at him?
Yeah, I wouldn't be worried about it. I don't think Dysart Dynamo is the kind of horse you can stack anything up on. He's forward going, and by the time he's in front, it'll be how long he can last, really. And I don't think he'll last long enough.
Yeah, if you look at the Moscow Flyer, like, it's not, you know, the last three furlongs he beats them, it's before that, you know?
Yeah.
So
I'd agree. I think he'd be jumping and going, and it's not the same track that he won the Moscow Flyer on either. You're on the Tuesday, the Punchestown Festival. You're way out wider than that. So, I'm Sir Gerhard.
Sir Gerhard, two votes for Sir Gerhard in the first of the grade ones. Will it be a running theme of William Mullins winning grade ones at Punchestown? You know what? I think it might.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, we're going to move on to the first handicap of the festival, the 450. Watch out for five places each way instead of four. And this one dominated by William Mullins. He's got lots, but he's got one of the joint favourites far out, Paul Tennant's pick. He's got to improve from his last couple of starts. 5-2 for Ardler. For Mick Halford, well, it is his time of the season, the flat trainer, 9-2 joint favourite. 6-1 Glan, who was a lovely winner for Gordon Elliott and Ruby Walsh fans on this very podcast, tipped up by Ruby when winning last night. Esky Lane is the top weight in 10-1. Felix Deji, also 10-1. It's 12-1, the Great Bear. There's other William Mullins horses, including Tax for Max, who disappointed when tipped up by Frank last time. Tempo Chapter 2, Danny Mullins will ride that one. Okay, so Ruby, straight to you. Plenty for Willie. We've seen all these in that big 2 mile handicap at Ferry House. Was there anything in that race that you thought, this one maybe will win next time out?
Probably a couple that looked a little unlucky, but Glan did it well. Didn't get a massive penalty for it either. And she'll be many people's fancy to follow up. Obviously, Ardla is a decent novice, beat Farmer's Lodge at Navan. We won a maiden hurdle, but third to Banbridge. We know Banbridge has gone since and won the Martin Pipe at the Cheltenham Festival. Ardla likes to race close to the pace, and I think there is a little bit of pace in here as well. Felix Deji in his day likes to go forward. Tax for Max will be handy. There's just a couple of horses in here that could force those in the front end to really go. And I was with Ardla. I didn't think he'd be 92 favourite at the time of recording. So I've gone looking for something with a bit of bigger value, and I've come down on the side of Hurricane Cliff, who chased home Bride's Hill in Leopardstown at Christmas, finished fifth. But Bride's Hill made the run on that occasion. Hurricane Cliff was dropped out the back and was nearest at the finish. Aidan Coleman rides for Henry de Bromhead, 25-1 each way. I'm going to have a little look at that.
25-1 poke, Frank.
Yeah, I've won the Shovia Prize as well. And something I hope to be doing Friday at about 10 o'clock in the night, and that's still standing.
No chance.
Very useful. Easily. I'm not a big drinker, so I'm very good at pacing myself. Like, me drinking is the same as Ruby Walsh with a front-running rye. Get the splits perfect. This horse was very useful on the flat, trained by Jesse Harrington. Had a peak rating of 104 last seen in October in a Premier Handicap when finishing midfield off a mark of 94. He's been dropped 2 pounds to a mark of 92. He's only had 6 starts over hurdles. He won his last start, which is a maiden hurdle at Gorn, I think last September, on good ground. He'd useful horses like Sir Royal, the Hinge Tree, and the Greek Behind. He is 2 pounds out of the handicap, but he's running off a mark of 120 and his flat rating's 92. His trainer, William Durkin, wouldn't have an awful lot of horses, but he showed with Screaming Colours that he can train them. That came back from a near 5 month absence to win the Midlands National and then ran an absolute cracker in the Irish National, won fourth, despite the higher mark. And this still standing based on its flat ability and has showed some ability over hurdles as well. Could be very well handicapped. Good ground will suit. Yeah, and he'll be a big price. I'm not sure what price we are, but imagine it'd be 16 or 20 to 1.
He is exactly 16 to 1 at the time of recording. So two big price selections still standing for Frank and an even bigger price, Hurricane Cliff for Ruby. Will we be singing a bit of Elton John, Frank, in the Paddy Power box on the Friday? Still standing?
For singing, no. Like, you know, my go-to song when I'm singing it is Firestarter by The Prodigy. That's my...
I'd love to see you on The Voice.
I just hope I'm not in the top 34 box.
Firestarter, Frank Hickey, cock style. Right, I'm Firestarter by. Right, we'll move on to the next race of the card. This is the 525. It's the Champion Chase. By the way, if you walk into a Paddy Power shop and you have a bet in this race, you'll get a free bet. It's absolutely free, up to a tenner. Energamine, 8 to 11. 11 to 8, Shaq and Persuas. It's a match, folks. 14 to 1 and bigger the rest. Andy Dufresne, Envoy Allen, and Captain Guinness, they're the big rags. Okay, Ruby, we've seen this before with Willie Mullins. Paul Tennant's picked Energamine, no surprise. Shaq and Persuas, again, we have this question about, I should say, he's a better horse in Ireland. A Punchestown does really seem to suit him.
Yeah, look, he's been good here the last couple of years, PK, there's no doubt about that. But I thought he was having a going day at Cheltenham. I thought he looked to be galloping along and really enjoying himself. Got things wrong at the 9th and got rid of Patrick. The race had fallen apart, obviously, when Shishkin didn't go at all, and Energamine was left to romp home. But it was still a hugely impressive performance. I just think Shaqin is going to suit Energamine. I'd imagine it'll be pretty similar to what happened in Cheltenham. Patrick will go forward, Paul will probably follow him. And whereas Shaqin was able to gallop and jump Aloho ragged in the first mile and a half last year, I don't think he'd be able to do that to Energamine this time around. And Energamine's superior stamina will win out in the end. I think even watching last year's race, you know, Shaqin was looking for the line as Aloho closed him down from not being a contender at the third last. He's chasing him all the way to the line. And I just think Energamine will be able to stay closer and have too much stamina for Shaqin Persuas later on.
Okay, so Energamine to beat Shaqin Persuas. Frank?
Oh, you know, I love Energamine. Look, the race fell apart at Cheltenham, but at the same time, I think he was about 1.14 coming down the hill, you know, jumping three out. You know, that's how easy he was going. And I just can't see how Shaqin Persuas beats him. Like, even as impressive as Shaqin Persuas has been at Punchestown, like, you have to actually ask yourself the question, is Shaqin Persuas' very best better than Energamine's very best? And we don't even know, like, Energamine, we don't really know how much better he could be. I know he was beaten a length at Ascot, but like, I just think Energamine's a tool, and I'd be very disappointed if he doesn't win. I think 8 to 11 wouldn't be my sort of price normally, but as 8 to 11 shots go, I think that's value. Yeah, I'd be thinking he'd be more twos on.
Frank Hickey, have you tipped up two odds on shots in this episode?
Interesting.
Yeah, Punchestown. Dead right, Ruby. Right, we'll move on to the Goss Land Rover bumper.
It'll be good practice for the 5-day festival at Cheltenham.
Hasn't been announced yet, Frank. There's been no official announcement yet, Frank. What are you talking about? Right, at the 6 o'clock at Punchestown is the the Gotsland Rover bumper. Now, this race, obviously, none of these were, I know of them have had a run, but generally, you're looking at potential horses. Irish Envoy would have raced as well for Liz Doyle. Going to start with you, though, Ruby, because there's a couple for Willie Mullins. Patrick has chosen, or assume he's chosen, Rocco Bay, whilst Jodie Townend, who keeps beating Patrick Mullins in these bumpers, she's got El Clasico. I like that name as well. What are those two like?
Yeah, look, they go well at home, PK. It's just hard to know. I mean, as you said, some of them have run, but there's a lot of unraced horses in here. Rocco Bay is by Scirocco. Obviously bought at the qualifying sale. Those things nicely at home. And the same applies for the one Jody rides, El Clasico. Scirocco filly. Do either of them blow you away? It's hard for horses that are bought last May to be blown you away this early in the year. So it'll be interesting. I'd say Katie Tay of Emmett Mullins has had a nice run behind Irish Envoy at Nace. Could have improved for that. And Irish Envoy reopposes tomorrow afternoon with no penalty. There's no penalties in this race, even if you are a winner coming in here, which is quite unique. So look, Irish Envoy literally is a winner without a penalty.
Well, there you go. Could be an interesting one for Liz Doyle. Very capable with her bumper horses. Frank, is there anything that, obviously working without prices or anything, you thought, geez, that'd be interesting there?
Look, like the market, the cash will dictate what, you know, what's interesting, what's not. When you're looking at it, Caldwell Potter is very interesting on breeding, being a, I think it's a full brother to Mighty Potter for Gordon. He's very interesting. I thought Mags Mullins' horse, Augusta, or Miss Augusta, it's a well-chosen mare out of a sister to numerous winners. The book of Derek O'Connor caught my eye. He's only had 5 rides for her in the last 5 years in bumpers, which isn't a lot, but he did finish a close second last year on Springwell Bay for her, second behind Adamantly Chosen, and she's booked Derek O'Connor again. So I'd just be keeping an eye out for if there's a few bob for that.
Okay, we will. Very interesting to see the prices. There's an extra place in that race as well, by the way, folks, trying to make it easier for you. And we're going to go next to the 6:35, which is the third of the grade ones. It's the 3-mile novice chase. And Bob Olinger, who was handed victory at the Cheltenham Festival, as we know, 11-10 favourite, Rachel Blackmore on board, obviously. Capitano, 5-2. You've got Fury Road, 7-1. 8-1 Miller's Bank. And nice to see a British Raider here. Alex Hale sending this one over at 8-1. 9-1 Beacon Edge for Noel Mead. And Lifetime Ambitions, 9s. And 10-1 for Ballyshannon and Rose. Good renewal, Frank, on this occasion. I suppose the question marks, though, they're there about Bob Olinger, because he was not going to win the race. And generally the vibe was, or the thoughts, he wasn't running to his form, even being beaten. Like he was going to be well beaten.
Well, they said he had a hamstring injury or something, wasn't it? Isn't that what they said?
Muscle injury, yeah.
Yeah. So he had a bit of an excuse. What would worry me is I know he had a hamstring injury, but he was walking up the hill. Like I was even wondering, would he get home? He looked so, you know, if there was anything near him at all, I think he would have nearly been beaten. And it's, I know he's had what, how many weeks is it?
40 days.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be a small bit concerned now. Even though a lot of people might look and say he's not odds on and that's a good price, but the way he finished at Cheltenham and up to 3 miles for the first time, I don't know. I wouldn't be getting involved. I think better ground will suit Capitano. Obviously the rain on the Wednesday probably inconvenienced him a little bit. He was a good winner here in a handicap hurdle last year. But again, he's short enough. And I'm just going to take a chance on Miller's Bank. I thought he was very good at Aintree, albeit it wasn't the strongest grade one ever. But he won very easily. He was very strong at the line. He won by 10 lengths. But he has shown previously that he has the ability to, you know, mix it with some good horses. He was only beaten, 3.5 lengths in the Aintree hurdle last year behind Abracadabra and Buzz. And I think 3 miles on good ground really is really going to suit him. He could improve. And at just at the price of 8-1, I'd take a chance. And I'd be very worried about Bob Olinger, to be honest.
It'll be one hell of a shock for a British train runner to win a grade one novice at Punchestown this season. But keep an eye on Miller's Bank. Ruby?
Disagree with Frank. I would have concerns about Bob Olinger too. You know, obviously for all that Frank has said, so yeah, I think he's a hell of a good racehorse, but I'm going to oppose him here. I thought Capitano off the back of an unseated Leopardstown didn't jump at any fluency at Cheltenham. He'd have to jump much better. Maybe the drying ground would help. But I thought the one that was overpriced was Fury Road. Thought he gave away the Drinmore. He won the Fort Leaney at Leopardstown at Christmas when he beat Run Royal Fred. There's no match for Galloping the Champ at the Dublin Racing Festival, but I thought he ran an outstanding race at Aintree. when he split a High Senor and Long Press, a Brave Man's Game back and forth. I think that's a cracking run, and I think he's overpriced Fury Road.
No love for Bob. After putting up the first two, what I assume, Frank, is going to be very popular treble on Tuesday. I would imagine those three go in. Sir Gerhard, Bob Olinger, and Einar Gabin. That's going to hurt Paddy Power, I would imagine.
Probably will. I'd be pretty hopeful if the double is up that the treble will get sunk.
If the double is up, are we looking at Bob going off odds on?
Maybe not. Even you're talking about a Willie Mullins double, so you know, maybe a lot of it will run on to Capitano too. He's short enough with him. So
Fair enough.
When he's not odds on and you have another one short enough with it, it would split the Maltese a little bit, so it won't be too bad. You know, rather than say if Bob was, you know, 4-5 and it was 9-2 bar, then it would be a lot more, you know, obvious a treble in. But
okay,
we're still going to name it, but I don't think it's something we'd be like, you know, overly worried about.
All right.
If it hits the punch of a few Bob for the week.
Happy days. It's a good day for them to get something in the bag on the Tuesday, including myself. Right, we'll move on to the first of the Banks races for the week. It's the 7:10. This is not the Latouche. That comes later in the week. Now, no price at the time of recording. We are going to give you an extra place. There's two very eye-catching horses in the race. One, trained by Willie Mullins in the Appreciate Colours, I think. Patrick on board, Goodbye Sam, who's been operating 100 chases. And the other is a Banks and Rules debutante, De Nordener, for Enda Bulger. When I say Banks debutante, I'm pretty sure he's seen more Banks than some sort of joke here. I don't know. A minister for finance, something like that. We throw that out. That's brutal. Right. Those are the two that
should have had some famous bank robber. That's what you should say.
Famous bank robbers. You got any off the top of your head?
No, I don't. Nope. But if you're going to make that sort of joke, you should have had it prepared.
Well, see, this is the thing. If you get time to prepare for these pods, you probably would sound better, but clearly I didn't. Ruby, tell us about Goodbye Sam, because I know chatting before Cheltenham, I mentioned to you that William Mullins Yard doesn't seem to have too many Banks horses. They kind of end up there the odd time. It's not a case of they're bought for Banks and sent it to Willie Mullins. This horse is relatively young, though, compared to ones that he usually sends over to Banks.
Yeah, he came from France, a maiden, so he qualified for Hunter Chases. He had a run on a point-to-point and a half below. Great run behind Billaway, then at Nace. Disappointed at Thurles behind a long, long story and got the job done when he beat Air Dancer at Tremor, but that's all he did. He wasn't that impressive. Has schooled well over Banks, but look, I suppose horses for courses, people for tracks, in the Bulger, the Northerner, the Ladies' Cup, hard to go against them.
The Northerner. Yep, and the Bulger in the JP Silks with Derek O'Connor on board. Frank and Jet managed to have a sneaky look at this.
The two of them are going to make the market and get a price on something else. Vital Sign ran well in this race last year. I think he was second, was he? But the one I like is Michael's Pick for Kieran Murphy. He was fifth in this race last year, beating 15 lengths, but he came out then, ran the Latouche Cup a couple of days later and finished second to Singing Banjo. At the time, I think we may have thought Singing Banjo wasn't very good, but he'd won twice the Punchdown Festival and he's been running well enough since. And as I said, Goodbye Sam, he'd run second to Billaway, had he? But since then, I've been very disappointed. And like he was, you know, very short. I can't remember exactly, but was he like trees on or something when he got beaten at Thurles? And not even a bit shorter. And at Tremor, he was very workmanlike in a, you know, an ordinary enough race.
2-11 at Thurles.
2-11, yeah. And actually, Michael's Pick finished ahead of him at Thurles that day. And I'd be guessing like Michael's Pick could be around a 10 or 12 to 1 shot. And I'd prefer to go with him. He's been around the Banks and ran well, albeit the Latouche Cup's over 4 miles too. And this is only 3-mile 1. He was in Aintree for the Fox Hunter, or for the Hunter Chase there. He did bleed, be a small bit of a concern, but yeah, he's probably going to be a fair price and I take a chance on him.
Okay, keep an eye on those two, De Nordener for Ruby and potentially a nice price there for Frank at hopefully an each-way pick anyway. One more race. It's the bumper. We're going to give you an extra place with the second bumper on the card. This one is, there's two Willie Mullins horses and guess what? Patrick's on one and Jody Tennant's on the other. Jody rides Vadsa Queen whilst Patrick has gone for a horse, Lisnagar Fortune, who is related to Lisnagar Oscar.
Yeah, I don't know that Patrick literally just go for it. One is 11-7, the other is 11 stone. So I'd say Vadsa Queen probably was on the light side for Patrick. So he rides Lisnagar Fortune, Soldier of Fortune, Geldon. We hadn't that many 4-year-olds ready to run. These were the only two. Vadsa Queen is owned by Eamon Phelan. Look, 10 stone 9 in the back, she could run a good race, but I think the market, like the Land Rover, will dictate the prices here. Lisnagard Fortune, again, goes well enough at home as well, but as a four-year-old, they haven't really been tested too strongly at home. There's not that much of either of them. So, look, maybe Vad's a Queen over Lisnagard Fortune, but not strong on either.
Frank, there was an eye-catching, these Caldwell colours. They seem to always be six figures, and I just look and see 220 grand for firm footings.
Yeah, it's a walk in the park, half brought from Mona Lee as well, so brilliant to be useful. That'll be interesting. Charles Burns got Hope for a run. The half-sister to bumper winners, Run for Oscar and Run for Mary. Always significant if the money comes for one of Charles's again. You'd be keeping an eye on that. But look, all you can do is look at, you imagine like Willies with Patrick could be up there with firm footings in the market, and then it's just see what we lay. yeah, and basically,
that's fine.
People punting it will know more than us pricing it.
I'll tell you what, lads, back Willies in the bumper, and if he's got two, back them both. It's done. All right, let's get your best bets on day one. It can be a double or treble. As mentioned, it's going to be a very popular treble today, but best bet for day one, Frank Hickey.
Energamine, I'm sure.
Is Frank Hickey tipping up an 8 to 11 shot as his nap of the day? This is uncharted territory.
Look, we just go still standing in the handicap hurdle, so.
You can stick with Energamine. I don't want to. Do you want to go still standing each way in the handicap?
Go on, yeah. We'll go still standing in the handicap.
Okay, and if it wins, we will get a rendition tomorrow. Ruby, your best bet on day one?
The double, so Gerhard and Energamine, I think will win. But I do think Fury Road is overpriced as well.
Okay, I don't know what to put down as his nap there, Frank. What would you say is his nap?
The double is the nap.
The double. Thank you very much. The double is the nap. Gentlemen, thank you very much. That's day one covered. We'll be back tomorrow, later even, to have a look ahead to day two, which has an absolute belter of a Punchers Town Gold Cup. Really looking forward to that race. But best of luck with your bets on day one. Remember, white runners, put them in the bin. Even if you need to paint, I actually, back from the days when you used to go to college or used to go to clubs in college and you forgot to bring your shoes and you'd have a little bit of like brown paint or something, or put the socks over the runners. You tried that one before? Black socks over the runners. Genuinely did that once.
No. Yeah. Where were you brought up?
South County, Dublin.
Socks over your runners.
Well, they wouldn't let me into the palace if I went in with runners. So if you had black socks on, you can just basically pull them over.
What kind of runners did you have?
I don't know. Cheapest ones. I don't know. I wasn't a man for brands.
Surely in this day and age, like, I understand, like, you know, real running runners, like, you know, but like in this day and age, which are kind of, you know, your Lacoste and all those sort of, they're trendy white runners. Like, what's wrong with them? What if you turn up in white bow shoes? Are you allowed in with them?
Bow shoes. That's flat.
They're white. Like, I don't know, like proper white shoes. They're actual shoes, but they're white.
Tell you what, Frank, when we're in the parade rink doing a little preview on Friday, we'll have a look around and we'll see. We'll point out all the people and runners. And we'll do a little bit of a fashion segment as well. We do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. I'm like, what's your man? The next Gokwan.
Whatever happened to Doc? I haven't seen him in a while. Okay, listen, that's day one covered. Ruby Walsh is falling asleep here, so we'll head on and be back for day two. Enjoy the first day of the Punchers Town Festival.